Good morning. Greetings in Christ's precious name this morning. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you to worship with us. Welcome the Berkshire family, nearly complete. It's good to see you all here. Before we begin, let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come and be amongst us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love to us, broken vessels in your hand. And this morning, Lord, we pray that you would send the Holy Spirit in and fill this place, move amongst us, encourage us, convict us. Lord, we want you to receive all the glory for the service today. We commit it to you. We ask that you would use us. In Jesus' name, amen. We look to God's Word this morning for inspiration. So as we do that, let's shut out the things that have distracted us this past week and come and focus on God. And what does God want to tell us, talk to me today? What does He want me to learn from His message today? So take with me for this next week. We've been going through the book of John as our Sunday school lesson over the last weeks, and I've enjoyed that very much. And in this past week, there was a phrase that stuck out to me, and I've felt led to expound on it a little bit as I did my own digging and searching. So if you would, turn with me to John chapter 17. I'd like to read a couple verses there and look at some things there. St. John chapter 17, verse 1 through 4. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. I like to picture that when I read that, Jesus lifting his eyes to heaven. Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 3 is a powerful verse. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast gavest me. Verse 3 could be a message all on its own. It's not the verse it's not what had grabbed me as I was reading this, as I was studying for the Sunday school lesson a couple weeks ago. It is not surprising to me that Jesus could say, Father, I glorify you, glorify me so that I may glorify you. I have finished the work that you have sent me to do. There's no doubt that Jesus glorified God. That is what he was here for. That's what he focused on. Those are the things that it was all about the Father. He was perfect in every way. He didn't have wrong motives, no wrong attitudes. Jesus glorified the Father. But here he is, and I was meditating on this, that Jesus was all about glorifying the Father, and it made me ask the question of myself, what have I done to glorify the Father? We want to become more and more like Jesus and to walk in the footsteps that he showed us to walk in. And so what are we doing, what am I doing to glorify the Father? That's what we're here for, is it not? To glorify Jesus, to glorify the Father. We say the words, to God be the glory, and it's easy to say, but what does that mean? What does giving God glory mean in real life? It may be different for each one of us, but what does it mean to you, and what does it mean to me in my life? What should it look like in my life when I say, I want to glorify God? I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work, Jesus said. I want to be able to to say to God, God, use me. I want to glorify you. And in the twilight years of life, I also would want to be able to say, God, you gave me a work to do, and I have finished that work. But in order to do that, we need to be intentional. We need to be focused on the business that is before us of serving and glorifying God. I don't have a newfound method or some profound way of analyzing things today. I just want us to focus on what God is saying here and question in our own hearts, where am I at with this glorifying God? What am I doing? Or am I doing something that is not glorifying God? 2 points that I want to share this morning. What does the Bible say about glorifying God? And what happens if I should fail to glorify God? First, I'd like to maybe just look a little bit on the term of glory or glorify. In the Old Testament, glory was splendor and greatness. In Exodus, we read that the glory of the Lord filled the temple. His greatness, His splendor filled the temple. In Isaiah 6, where Isaiah said, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord on a throne high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. And it has a picture there of seraphims crying to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His glory, the whole earth, it says the whole earth is filled with His glory. That's the glory of God. In the New Testament, the meaning of glory changes a little bit to praise and worship, and honor, dignity, glory. Jude 1:25 says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, praise and honor. 1 Timothy, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory. Honor, praise, worship. And when we use the word glorify to bring glory to God, that's what we're referring to. We want to recognize His greatness and His splendor, because that's who God is, and we praise and honor Him for that. We express that by glorifying Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look fully in His wonderful face. And the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We see a measure of that in the face of a child when they look at their parent or two people that are in love, when there's a look in the eyes, in their countenance. There's a beaming. And that is the way we look at God when we glorify God. God, you are my Savior. You saved me from my wretchedness, and I glorify you. What does the Bible say about glorifying God? I'd like to look at several verses. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'd like to read one verse at the beginning here in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Familiar verse. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. Glorifying God in my body. That's what we're learning about this morning. That's what I contemplated on as I studied. And what does that mean to me? How does that look in real life? When the Scripture instructs us to glorify God in our body, what does that mean? We see a little bit of what we're going after earlier in the chapter. Let's go to verse 9 of chapter 6. And I'm going to read a portion of this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators or idolaters or adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves or covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. No sin will inherit the kingdom of God. No sin will make it into heaven. Verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. Here he's starting to talk about his body. How do I glorify God in my body? Let's keep that mind in our, that question in our mind. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not allow my body to be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both of them, both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, literally or figuratively. Anything that I would do in a selfish motive, the body is not for that, but for the Lord. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. When I view life through a lens like we just read, sin will not enter there. I will not allow my body to be brought under the influence of any of these things, though all things be lawful for me as a Christian. My body is not for any selfish indulgences, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. It changes how I view and how I do with myself and with my body. Everything changes, my perspective, the places I go, the things I do, the things, even the way I think, the things that I entertain change because I want to glorify God with my body. Verse 15. Chapter 6, verse 15. Now know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take a member of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined unto the harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. For he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Glorify God with your body and your spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye are of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There are some sins. There are some selfish indulgences that we're distracted from serving God like we ought to. They consume our time, they consume our energy, and we no longer bring glory to God with our bodies as we should. This could be different areas. I could probably pick areas in your life as I observe you, and you could pick areas in mine. That's not what we're here for this morning. But let's analyze our own lives and say, God, I want to bring glory with you with everything that's within me. Are there things that I'm doing or not doing that are hindering that? It could be in how we conduct ourselves, how we dress, how we act in private or in public. Am I glorifying God with my body, with my physical being? Am I bringing glory to God? One of the things that, after living in another culture for 3 years and coming back, thinking about glorifying God with my body, something that seemed to change while we were gone, it might have been present before we left, but also my eyes were just, wow, the things that people are doing to their bodies nowadays. When you go to Walmart or wherever and you see the ink and the piercings and are we bringing glory to God with our bodies? It's a question we need to ask. Do those kinds of things bring glory to someone or something else other than God? Or are they bringing glory to God? You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Romans 6 says, yield your members, our bodies, as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's bringing glory to God. Later in the same chapter, it says, yield your members, your bodies, servants to righteousness and to holiness. If we intend to follow what God asked for us, to bring glory to God to glorify God with our bodies, then we strive to meet that. Instruments of righteousness, servants of righteousness. We would do good to take inventory. What do I do in a day's time? Does it bring glory to God? What about a week's time? Am I bringing glory to God with my time and my energy and my body? Glorify God in your spirit. In verse 17 it says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Earlier in John we read that I am the true vine and ye are the branches. There's a connectedness here. There is a joining. We're joined together on a spiritual level. It's been said that we are spirits. But in order for us to be able to see each other, we need to have a body. Otherwise, we would not be able to see each other. God gave us a body. It's where we live. It's where we have our senses, our tasting, touching, smelling, all those things. It's what we are so focused on. But we have a spirit, and it is easy to forget to take care of that spiritual man. We forget to take care of our spiritual man, but we need to glorify God in our spirit. Satan has developed elaborate plans of distracting us from taking care of our spiritual man. Glorify God in your body and your spirit. If we're drawn away by anything else other than focusing on God, it becomes grievous to God. And he calls it spiritual adultery or idolatry. And just like choosing to be a Christian, serving God changes every area of my life, how I act and how I speak and how I think, how I serve, what I focus on. Everything changes in the same way areas now being for myself and for selfishness, it becomes avenues in which I need to glorify God. In 1 Peter 4:11, let's turn to 1 Peter 4:11, if you would turn with me there. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Whatever we're doing, if we're ministering, if we're serving, if we're working, if we're singing, whatever we're doing, that it could be to the glory of God, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Even if we're persecuted, it can be to the glory of God. We read in verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Glorify God in your body and your spirit. But let none of us suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf, bringing glory to God in every situation. That's what we need to be about. We can convince ourselves that going to church on Sunday, even going to midweek services, that's me glorifying God. I'm involved in ministry there. I'm giving money to missions over here. It's all me glorifying God. But there's an area in our hearts, a room in our hearts, if you will, where we keep it separate. And we say, this part is for me. This is me time. This is what I do when I want to get away. We need to be careful with that. Is it bringing glory to God? In Philippians 1:9 it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Every part of our life is focused on glorifying God. There are many areas we could go into about bringing glory to God, how we worship, how we live, all of those areas. One of the areas that's mentioned in the Bible that I've often found interesting is in the area of works, good works. We know that good works don't bring us salvation. But Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them." And then in Matthew it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." That's what we were created for in Ephesians. "And glorify your Father which is in heaven." When we do things because we love God and we love people, other people see that and they glorify God. Am I glorifying God in every area of my life? In my marriage, in my ministry, in my work, in my singleness, in my business? When I'm successful, do I bring glory to God? Questions that came to my mind. Can I say that my recreation, my downtime, glorify God? Do others recognize me as a follower of Christ and glorify God? So what if I fail to glorify God? My second point, what happens if I fail to glorify God? We have examples in Scripture, in the Old Testament, where people glorified themselves rather than glorifying God, and battles were lost, lives were lost. The name of God was damaged because of their heaping glory upon themselves. Probably one of the most recognizable accounts is when King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel, he had conquered the nations surrounding him. He was king of the mountain, had everything, riches, honor, power, everything. But did he glorify God? No, he didn't. He said, "Look at this great Babylon that I have made, that I have built by my own power and by my own majesty." That's what King Nebuchadnezzar said. No glory to God, only glory to himself. And this is a strong temptation for us even today, lest we be critical of him, especially when we have so much, to draw satisfaction from what we have, what we've done, what we've created, what we've built, and what we've become. To forget that our ability even to open our eyes in the morning should bring us to praise God, because we have a debt of gratitude to God for even that. In Daniel it says that when Nebuchadnezzar was glorifying himself for this great city that he had built, it says that God brought to pass the very things that he had dreamt about, king, and he went on all fours and ate grass for 7 years. God humbled him. Here was a man that went strutting on his porch about the things that he had done, and he was then being driven into the fields. You can read that story in Daniel 4. In verse 34, I'd like to note, though, after 7 years out there in the field, driven away from men, it says in verse 34, "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven. And mine understanding returned unto me." His understanding must have left him. "But it returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, and all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. When he came to himself and his understanding returned unto him, he glorified God. But we see what happened to him when he didn't glorify God. God made him a. It says he is able, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. When I live for myself, and I'm not glorifying God, that is what I'm doing. I'm living for self and for pride, being proud. In the New Testament, we have Romans 1, where we have this progression of wickedness that comes over, that is in the world. And it culminates in a person being, it says there that a person is filled with all unrighteousness. Let's look at Romans 1. I have one verse that I'd like to just focus in on in Romans chapter 1. If you would turn with me to that, Romans chapter 1. What happens when I do not glorify God with my body and my spirit? The whole chapter of Romans 1 is a powerful chapter, and it does show a progression of humanity in their wickedness, being filled with all unrighteousness in verse 29. But in verse 21, Romans 1:21, it says there, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. That's how the progression began. Is it important that we glorify God? I believe so. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Let's be frank with each other. It is a real, real temptation, a danger for us yet today. Nebuchadnezzar faced it in Daniel chapter 4. He recognized, he knew of God, but he didn't recognize him as God. His grandson in chapter 5, Belshazzar, same problem. He faced this reality. And we don't escape this danger. It's a real danger. I don't think it's only in affluence, but I think with the affluence that we have, in our affluence today, we tend to push God aside and think that we can do this on our own, or somehow that we have created this of ourselves. And God becomes an accessory, something we put on Sunday morning, or something we hang on the mirror of our car, an accessory to being a Christian, and that's not who God wants to be. We put on God as an afterthought because it comes so easy. It rolls off of our tongue, to God be the glory. But that is not glorifying God as God. God is a jealous God. In Isaiah 42, it says, in verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory I will not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. That's the God we serve. He will not share his glory with anyone. So the question I'd like to leave you with is, how will I bring God glory this week? Do I need to reevaluate my priorities so that I can glorify him as he deserves? Those are the questions that have come to my mind. Jesus was able to say in verse 4 of John 17, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. May that be our testimony as well. Let's kneel for prayer.